I'm off kilter today, all right? This is the first time. I'm low-tech. Y'all know that. I'm doing my best. That the substance of things hoped for, that's an interesting concept. Let me see how I can explain that to you. If I hope, when we talk about hope in a biblical sense, we're talking about something we believe is going to happen. All right? Jesus is our great hope, right? Our blessed hope. The glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, so don't water that down. Hope means I believe it's going to happen. Now, if I believe that Dustin is going to bring me a chocolate cake for supper tonight. Stay with me. I'm trying to make illustration right here. If I believe that, so what am I going to do as a result of that? Well, I'm going to prepare for that. I'm probably not going to eat so much that I can't eat no more. Amen. Now that's a simple illustration. But let me say it like this. If I believe that at the end of the week on Friday, that the place where I am employed is going to cut me a check as retribution for my time, then that, I'm going to get up Monday morning and go to work.
Amen.
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 If I believe that my wife's going to cook me dinner when I get home, then I ain't going to stop at McDonald's on the way there. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. If I believe that Jesus has the power to fix the problems in my life, then I'm going to come meet with him whenever the doors are open. Amen? What about that? Substance of things. Hope. What's the substance in your life of what you're hoping for? The substance of things. Hope. That's what you do because of what you believe. That's a simple definition. What you do because of what you believe. Amen. I believe when I get in my car when I leave church today that it's going to take me to the next destination that I have to go to. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in it and I'm going to buckle up my seatbelt. I'm going to crank it up and I'm going to go. Amen. If I didn't believe that it would get me there, there'd be some things that I would do to make sure that I had a backup plan. Listen to me. That's the way a lot of Christians are living. They got a whole bunch of backup plans because they're not convinced, they're not sure that God is who He says He is. They're not sure that Jesus has saved them. They're not sure that this thing's going to work out the way that God said it was going to. So they got a whole bunch of backup plans in place, a bunch of fallbacks just in case things don't work out like they thought they were going to be. Now that shows a substance of their disbelief. So what's the definition of faith? Faith is not just that you believe, it's what you do on account of what you believe. Faith brings evidence in your life. Then I want you to see this, the ends of faith. Look at verse number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So what's the end of faith? The end of faith is you end up where you're supposed to end up. Now that's real simple. But hear me right here. Listen. This is what's so beautiful about the things of God. So how do I get to heaven? Believe that Jesus can get you there.
Amen. Amen.
The end of your faith that will be the reward that you believed on. Then look at verse number 3, the wisdom of faith. Through faith we understand. I could stop right there. Through faith we understand. I could preach on that. 4.5 hours right there. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all looking at me like, what's so important about that? Because, hey, listen, I've so many times Christians end up in a position where they're looking around at what's going on around them, the circumstances around them, and they say stuff like this. I just don't understand why it is the way it is. Hey, listen to me. If your faith will help you with your understanding, Faith brings wisdom. You know why? Because your faith will cause you to realize, recognize that God is sovereign and God is in control and God is good and God is omnipotent and God is all powerful and there's nothing that He's not involved in. God is ever present. He's, listen to me, immutable, immalleable. He is perfect in all His ways. That's what faith will bring you to the wisdom of. Listen to this. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Say, preacher, how do you know that God created the world?
Through faith.
How do you know that God's Word is true?
Through faith.
Amen. Amen. How can you believe the things that you believe?
Through faith.
Amen. See, here's what people want. They want something substantive. They want something that makes sense to them. But the problem is their logic is fleshly. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. That is to say that the reason why a lot of people can't understand the things of God is because they're not looking at them through faith. They're looking at them through their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people get so confused about God is because they're trying to fit God into the box of what they can't understand. What makes sense to them. What they believe that is outside or opposed to God's Word. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Wisdom will come through faith. I tell you what God will do. God will shore up that faith with knowledge of what He can do.
Amen.
You know what I've learned in 10 years of serving God? I've learned a lot of things coming up on 11 years of serving God. But here's what I've learned, that God will show me what He can do.
Amen.
And you say, what does that do for you? Listen, when God shows me that we can get through a valley, it makes the next valley that much easier.
Amen.
When God shows me that He can overcome an enemy, it makes the next battle that much easier.
Amen.
Because I can walk into that battle not just hoping that God can get me where to the end, but I know He can. Hey, listen, I've seen enough to know, that I like what the song says, I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Hallelujah. I've seen enough. I've seen God move enough to know what He is capable of, even if in some small way. And that is the wisdom that comes with faith.
Amen.
Verse 4, we see the sacrifice of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead yet speaketh. We're talking about Cain and Abel here. You got two brothers, the sons of Adam, Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice to God. Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, and Cain's sacrifice was rejected by God. You say, what was the difference? Well, Abel sacrificed one of his flock, a lamb. Abel sacrificed an animal to God, and Cain sacrificed the fruits of his garden, vegetables, essentially things that he had grown unto God, is what he sacrificed. And Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Listen, you say, what was the difference? Are y'all with me? Say amen. Don't get distracted by the fact that I'm having to do this. This is just something we got to do. Amen. By faith, I'm fixed to put some batteries in this microphone so y'all can hear me when I talk. Amen. But anyhow, you say, what was the difference in Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice that caused Abel's sacrifice to be accepted and Cain's sacrifice to be rejected? Well, I can give you the answer to that, and that is this. Abel sacrificed something he could not get back.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Cain sacrificed the fruit of his field, his garden. If you look out here on this field across from the church here, there's bushels and bushels of soybeans in that field. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I take a bushel of that out and I sacrifice that to God, certainly I've lost that bushel, but there's a plenty of opportunity left in that field for me to have what I need. Amen?
Amen.
I could take another bean from that field and I could grow in one season. I could grow another patch of soybeans for me to have. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
But if I take that sheep, that lamb, that animal whom I've raised up and I've invested in and I've fed and I've given the opportunity at life and I have raised up for a certain purpose and I take him and sacrifice him before God, I can't get him back. I may get another sheep, but I'll never get another one like him. I may grow another lamb, but I'll never have that one back. There's a difference. Faith, the sacrifice of faith is being willing to give up something real. Being willing to invest something real. So many times our faith is defined in our life by things that don't matter. We use faith as a crutch to make people think that we're spiritual. Well, we just believe God. Everything's terrible. And our life is awful. And we ain't got no money. And, you know, our kids are ugly. And everything's bad. But, you know, we just believe in God. And everything's going to be all right. I mean, really, that's the faith of a lot of people in our world. I'm just trusting God. Everything, it ain't going to work out. I mean, it's awful. But, you know, everybody in my family's sick, near unto death, and, you know, and I've lost my job 3 times in the last week, but I'm just trusting God. I mean, listen, I've seen people get fired from a job because they wouldn't show up for work. Are y'all listening to me? And they say, well, you know, I'm just going to trust God to get me another job. No, bud, what you need to do is get up out of bed. That ain't the same thing. That, listen, are you listening to me? That faith ain't costing you nothing. I'm talking about Cain had a sacrifice that had legs on it. Amen. It could accomplish something. It could do something. Listen, it had the potential to do something. Some of us need to invest in the things of God just beyond things that are symbolic.
Okay.
Amen. Hey, listen. That dollar you throw in the plate. When I was young, I had a friend, older friend, and every time he would go to church, and I'll just be honest with you, he was in the drug trade. Or y'all wouldn't say amen.
Amen.
Most of his money that he had, he come by dishonestly. And every time he would go to church, he would throw $100 bill in the offering plate when it come by. And he said, well, you know, I'm just trying to get right with God, stay right with God. Hey, look up in here. That $100 bill don't mean nothing to God because it don't mean nothing to you. We need to learn how to invest in something with some legs on it, something that has potential. Listen, you coming to church and throwing a dollar in the plate and leaving out of here and acting like you don't even know this place exists, leaving out of here and acting like that you ain't never met God and living your life in a way that does not do anything productive for the economy of God, hear me right here, that ain't worth 2 cents. You want your sacrifice to be accepted. You want to be able to get in on the things of God. You don't have to put something in that means something. He gave up. Hey, I'll tell you what Cain did, what Abel did. Abel gave up something he couldn't get back. When's the last time that we invested something in the work of God that we won't gonna get nothing back from? Amen. Amen, preacher. Yeah. Everybody gets quiet when we start talking like this, but it's okay. Sacrifice of faith. Something had to die for God to accept that sacrifice. Some of y'all got some things in your life. Are you listening to me? If you want to be right with God, if you want to experience what it's really like to live by faith and to walk by faith, some of you got some stuff that needs to die.
Amen.
Some of you got some things that you need to just lay them on the altar and say, okay, Lord, I'm done with this.
Some of you got some people in your life that need to be severed. Say, preacher, we're supposed to love everybody. Hey, listen to me. There's a difference in loving them and following them. There's a big difference in loving them and letting them control you. Some of us need to cut some stuff off. I'm getting off track, but I'm feeling real good about it. Sacrifice of faith. You know what Abel's sacrifice did? It opened up a whole new relationship with God for Abel. By the way, that sacrifice also got him killed.
Amen. Can I tell y'all something? It ain't about a pretty outcome. It's about a relationship with the Lord.
The sacrifice of faith. Go to verse number 5. I'll show you the walk of faith. Verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Here's what Genesis says about Enoch. It says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him.
Right here in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says that Enoch was translated, changed from one place to another, from one location to another, from one thing to another. God, I don't understand what happened to Enoch right here fully, except that there was no funeral for Enoch. There's no grave marker for Enoch. There's no tomb for Enoch. God just took him out of this world and into the next world. And here's what I want to say about that. The walk of faith is like this. Enoch was walking along with God. And one day God said something like this: we're closer to my house than we are to your house. Let's just go ahead and go home, amen. You say, preacher, how did he get to the point where he was so close to God, where he was able to be translated? Because he was close enough to God to be translated. Because look at the end of the verse. His testimony was that he pleased God. Amen. You know what God likes? When you do what he wants you to do. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Next verse. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Say, preacher, what am I supposed to be doing in my Christian life? I'm supposed to be pleasing God. Let me say it again. You know what God likes? God likes it when you do what you're supposed to be doing. When you do what he wants you to do. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Are you listening to me? Listen, if you love me, do what I'm telling you to do. If you love me, act like I'm telling you to act. If you love me, follow me. If you love me, carry on a relationship with me. If you love me, do what I've asked of you, because I know what's good for you and I know what's best for you. I've lined it all out. All you've got to do, if you love me, show me. Show me.
Hey, church, talk is cheap. Are you listening to me? I tell you what God needs from a generation of Christians up right now is some people that will show him their love as opposed to just talking about how much they love him. A generation that will show the world that they love God, and through that show the world who God is rather than just talking about it. We got so many quote-unquote Christians in our day.
This political mess has got me kind of aggravated, because I'm so sick of politicians. Well, you know, I have a Christian heritage. I've been going, and here's what they say: I'm a Christian. I've been in church since I was a kid. Hey, being in church don't make you a Christian. No more than being in a garage makes you a Corvette. Amen. Listen, going to church don't make you a Christian. Knowing Jesus makes you a Christian. You know what frustrates me? A politician that'll call themselves a Christian but won't proclaim the name of Jesus. They'll dance around it. Well, you know, they'll pray and they'll say something like, at the end of it, they'll say, and we pray in your name. Amen. What you meant to say was Jesus. What you should have said was Jesus. Why is that important?
Because every spirit that confesses the name of Jesus Christ is of God. And every spirit that won't confess the name of Jesus Christ ain't one of His. Amen. That's what your Bible says. Listen, if they won't say the word Jesus on TV, I don't believe they're no more saved than the rocks out there in the driveway. Amen. Say, preacher, you shouldn't judge. Hey, look up in here. The Bible says you can judge a tree by the fruits. And hey, these fruits are plain to see. The fruits of the church in 2024 are lacking. Say, why? Because we're operating with a faith that does not keep us close to God. Because we're not willing to do what pleases God. Say, why, preacher? Because we're too worried about doing what pleases us.
Praise, preacher.
We're too worried about pleasing ourselves, we're worried about pleasing God. Man, our whole society, our whole culture, it is about pleasing ourselves. What's going to make me happy? I'm so sick of it. I just, what's going to make me happy? You think Paul ever sat around with his buddies and said, man, I tell you what, I know I'm supposed to be out here preaching the gospel, but I just don't feel like doing nothing. I just don't feel like, you know, God just ain't giving me everything I want. And I tell you, man, I just ain't happy no more doing it. I don't see that. That ain't in there.
Amen.
You know what Paul said when he was standing before the king, fixing to get sentenced and get his head chopped off? He said, I think myself happy. Mm. He said, I'm happy because I want to be. Because I'm living by faith.
6, the reward of faith. Look what your Bible says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The reward of faith.
Hey, listen to me. You can't get the reward without faith. You will never receive what God truly has for you until you begin to operate by faith. As long as you are living your life in a way that allows you to operate without faith in God. So what do you mean? Let me give you an easy example that everybody understands. When you find yourself in a financial bind, here's what I do. Y'all with me? Say amen. I'm going to talk to you about me, so I ain't got to talk about y'all. Here's what I do. I get somewhere and I say, Lord, I need help. And then I get on my phone and I start making phone calls. See who's available to help. What's going on out there, you know, what the bank got to say about it. Say, what happened right there? Well, I almost did something by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, will God get you through a situation like that? I believe He will. But hear me right here. If you don't do it by faith, you're missing out on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing out on what God really can do.
That's right.
The reward of faith is a reward to those that, look what the Bible says, diligently seek Him. Give me a few more things and I'll be done. The working of faith, look at verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The working of faith.
Now, Noah's work is interesting to me because Noah lived in a time that the scholars and theologians call the Antediluvian Age. That's a fancy word that means it hadn't never rained before. The Bible says that in the time that Noah lived in, there was no rain, but that the dew came up from the earth in the morning and watered the plants. That's how the thing happened. But God came to Noah, and here's what He said. He said, hey, Noah, it's going to rain. Well, first of all, what's rain? Well, and water's going to fall from the sky. Well, that ain't never happened before. So what's going to happen then? Well, it's going to flood. What's that look like? Well, everything around you is going to be water. So what do I need to do, Lord? Build a boat. What's that? Amen. For what? Well, that'll keep you on top of the water. Say, preacher, in that context, listen to me now, that don't make no sense.
Amen.
But Noah did it.
Amen.
You know why? Because he believed God.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I ain't Noah, and I ain't never been in the type of situation he was in. But let me tell you what has happened to me. The Lord's put in my heart to plant a church right here in Bakertown, North Carolina. Here's what I said in the back of my mind. What? For what? I mean, because that's what we need. We need one more church. You know what the Lord said to my heart instead? No, we just need one church. That's what we need. We need one church. Hey, listen to me. Say, preacher, it don't make no sense. But I can tell you what the result of operating by faith is. I've gotten to see God do some things that's blown my mind.
Amen.
You know what, Noah? I could preach a whole nother message on Noah right here. But here's what I want you to see. Noah operated by faith in his work. Noah did something as a result of his faith. When's the last time that you did something as a result of your faith? Remember, we go all the way back to verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When, Christian, have we operated in a working manner based on our faith? When have we done something because we believe that God is going to do something that we don't understand? Listen to me now. I can't put that in the context of your life, but I'm trusting God to put that in the context of your life in your own heart. Listen, I know that God has called you to do things that are hard to understand because you can't see what God's going to do as a result of it. But I'm telling you, Noah's work paid off.
Amen.
As a result of Noah's work, look what the Bible says. He became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hey, listen, he became the heir of everything. He became the patriarch of the entire human race as a result of his work. Verse number 8. The journey of faith. Look at verse number 8 through verse number 10. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know what Abraham did?
This is so amazing. I'm trying to hurry, but.
Here's what we can learn from Abraham. Abraham spent his entire life on a journey toward a reward, a promise from God. And he died on that journey, and he never actually received the quote-unquote promised land. But hear me right here. The next time we see Abraham in Scripture, in Luke 16... He's in a place called paradise. So here's my question to you. Did he or did he not receive the promise? I'm pretty sure he did. So Abraham's life was not about getting to Canaan. Abraham's life was about the journey by faith that God had put in front of him. A lot of times, the reason why we're not on the journey is because we're too worried about the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. We're too worried about the reward. Because here's what we do as humans. When we see a reward at the end, we want to figure out a shortcut to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But can I tell you something? It's not about the reward. It's not Abraham's life wasn't about dwelling in Canaan. Abraham never dwelled in Canaan. Abraham never got there. Abraham's life wasn't about that. Abraham's life was about the fact that Abraham was willing to go and follow God.
Amen.
And take a journey. Abraham, the promise of God in a physical sense, came way later on down the road. Amen?
Amen.
So what was the point? The point was he was walking with God. The point wasn't where it was going. The point was who he was going with.
Verse number 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so that so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now,
here's what I'm going to show you right here, the possibilities of faith. Sarah and Abraham. Abraham's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old. God's been telling them their whole life, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you a son, and from that son is going to spring forth generations of people. And it's so many that they're more than the sand on the seashore, you can't number. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Abraham's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old. Now let me tell you something about, I'm not a biologist, I'm not a doctor. But here's what I do know. A 90-year-old woman can't have a baby.
That's right.
I don't care how good health she's in, I don't care how many vitamins she's had. 90-year-old woman can't have babies. Amen? Are y'all with me? Say amen. That's the thing that can't happen. That's the thing that's impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Say, what did God do? God gave him a child. Stay with me now. What are you getting at, preacher?
Talking about the possibilities of faith.
Let me tell you what God can do for you, church. I'm almost done with just a few more verses. My sermon's like a fat woman crawling through a barbed wire fence. Just a few more points, we'll be through. Amen? That was a good joke. Anyhow. Let me tell you what God can do for you in your life. All right? Because here's what you need to get from this. God can do for you stuff that can't happen. Mm-hmm. I need you to get a hold of this morning. Say, what can God do for me? Things that can't be done.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem with this pride and prosperity preaching that we've got in our day. Because if you want to go be a millionaire, friend, you can do it. If you dedicate your life to that, set everything else aside in the pursuit of that. Really, we live in the land of opportunity. Amen. You can do that. Many have done it and succeeded, and good on them. That ain't what we're talking about here. God can do stuff for you that is not possible. God can do things in your life that can't be done.
Amen.
God, hey, listen, God can open wounds that can't be opened. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
God can fix problems that can't be fixed.
Amen.
God can give into your life things that can't be given. You know how many times I've seen God remove tumors, without a surgery?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God can do stuff that can't happen. You know how many times I've heard people say, the doctor said, well, we just don't understand how this happened. We must have made a mistake. The only time a doctor will admit they made a mistake is when God gets involved.
Amen.
Amen. That's how I know it's a God thing. Because, hey, listen, that's the only way he's going to get a doctor to say they was wrong.
Well, we must have made a mistake on the scan. All the tumors, they're gone.
Let me tell you what that is. That's called the hand of God. God can do stuff that can't happen. God can bind together things that can't be bound together. And take apart things that can't be taken apart. He can open doors no man can open. And close doors no man can shut. Amen. He can do things that can't be done. I'm not talking about a God that can advance you in this physical society. I'm talking about a God that can do stuff that can't happen. Listen, I'm talking about a God that can do stuff that's physically impossible. I'm talking about a God that can open the world. You know why Sarah had to wait till she was 90 years old to have that baby boy? Because God needed them to see and he was capable of doing things that can't be done. Listen, some of us, the reason that we're waiting on the promise of God, we're waiting on God to move, is because it ain't yet got to the place where God's going to get the glory for it. It ain't yet got to the place where God's got to act in a supernatural way. Listen to me, I want to see God respond in my life in a way that I can't explain it.
The possibilities of faith are endless.
You say, what can God do? I would respond to that with a question. What can't God do?
Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off. Listen to this. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let me give you this and I'll be done. Persuasion of faith.
Abraham and Sarah, Noah, Cain, and all of these heroes of the faith. You know what made them different than everybody else? They were persuaded. They were so persuaded that they operated in a way to where they couldn't go back. Abraham left home and closed the door behind him. He was no longer looking to go back. He was looking to go forward. Christian, if we are to operate by faith, we must be persuaded that what we are pursuing is superior to what we're leaving behind.
Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. One of the buzz phrases in Christianity is we say, we want you to live an abundant life. But hear me right here. There's something more abundant. There's more than just abundance. There is peace. There is joy. There is faith. But we must be persuaded. So how can I tell if I've been persuaded? I look around you. You know how Abraham knew that he had his mind made up? Because he woke up in a tent a long ways away from home. Some of us, the reason why we teeter-tottering on the edge of we in one day and out the next, we ain't got far enough away from what we've left behind yet. Some of us need to take the journey and stay on it to the point that it becomes clear we're going in a different direction.
Amen.
Faith. Faith is what gets us to the point of no return. What is faith, preacher?
Simply put, faith is what you do because of what you believe.
What we need is more faith. I like the way the man in the New Testament said it. I believe. Help my unbelief. I think what we need to do this morning is just ask.